If you, have a Bible, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 to 42. And this is Jesus referring to his return. So let me read it to you. I might read it out of my own. I have trouble. I can't see up there. The heading is "The Day and the Hour Unknown." But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving up in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing was about to happen until the flood came and took them all away. And this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, and one will be taken and the other left. It's two women will be grinding with a handmill, and one will be taken away and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. You know, if you look at this particular piece of scripture, it evokes an incredible amount of theological discussion, because when you look at it, it says there that Jesus did not know the hour nor the day that he would return. And the question is this: if Jesus was who he said he was, then why didn't he know about his return? It's a good question, isn't it? Now, part of the answer, by the way, can be found in Philippians chapter 2, and we'll put it up for you on the screen. Who being in a very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the cross. Jesus came as a man, and he laid aside all those divine privileges he had in heaven. And Jesus himself experienced all that we experience here, we as humans. All the emotions and feelings. He laughed. He cried. He was anxious. He got angry at injustice. He was sorrowful when Lazarus died. He was hungry and thirsty, tired, lonely. He even felt the sense of abandonment, of being abandoned. And the thing is that if Jesus had not experience all these things, then how could he relate to us? Was he some kind of Superman? No. If he had been like Superman coming to earth, he could not relate to us. And then what we would do, we would wave our fist up to heaven and say, "You don't understand what I'm going through." He went through everything that we've gone through. "You don't know what I'm going through, Lord." He knows. He's gone through it. Jesus said, "I know not the hour nor the day, only my Father in heaven." And we could, if you like, just kind of tweak that scripture a little bit and say this about our own mortality. And say, "You know not the hour nor the day that your Father in heaven." And for some people, today is their last day. There are people out there right now. This is their last day. But for some, as I said, it could be their last day. Put up James for me if you would. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money.' Why, you do not know, not even know, what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. In newspaper English, we can translate it like this. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know how the mist is that comes, you know, that vapor that comes up out of the kettle? It's there for a second, it's gone. That's your life in comparison with eternity. You know, there are those who believe, and I know some of these people, who believe, they said, we've got it worked out, John. We know when Jesus is going to return. He said, we've worked it out mathematically. Well, hang on. Jesus didn't know. How do you know? You know, there are cults out there. There's one particular cult that bangs on your door, two or three of them together. They come bang on your door. And they are God's only true prophets on this earth, according to them. But if you read some of their writings, and I've read them, they prophesied in 1914 that Jesus would return. They prophesied in 1918 that he would return. And again in 1925. Guess what? Jesus didn't turn up. Who was wrong? Them or Jesus? Now, I remember when I first became a Christian, and this is going back, you know, 40 plus years. And back in those days, and some of you were around back in those days, that we had all these preachers coming from the US and all over the world. And they were all speaking about the same thing. These are the last days. Do you remember that, Gavin? Yeah, and they were everywhere. Every guest preacher that came across from the US or some foreign land was talking about, you know, get ready. Jesus is coming. He still ain't come yet. And, you know, as a baby Christian then, I was frightened. But if you look at what's happening now, and by the way, this is not a last day's message, by the way. But when you look at what's happening out there now, and you look for a moment, let me read the scriptures to you. Matthew chapter 24. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. And the next one. You know, often, I remember when I was a baby student back in those years, and this professor from the Wesleyan Methodist College, Professor George Eberly, you know, he was from the Midwest of the US. And this stuff was going on then. And he said, John, they need to read the rest of the scripture. The end will come when the gospel is preached to all mankind. And you know what? The world is doing what it can to stop the gospel being preached. And apparently there is still a lot of the world untouched by the gospel. But see, the gospel is far more reaching now than it ever was because of technology. But the world, as I said, is doing all it can to stop it. And over the last four decades, you know, I lived, you know, the most prosperous times for our country, I think, were the 60s, the 70s, maybe a part of the 80s. Anybody remember back that far? You know, those days were innocent years, weren't they? You know, but let me take you down memory lane for a little bit. You know, the pubs used to close at 6 o'clock in the evening. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. And on, you know, and at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, all the shops would close, including the garages, the supermarkets, everything. The only place you could get anything was at the milk bar. That would stay open longer. Remember that? Yeah. No, just get your milk, your bread and your newspaper, that was it. And then on Sundays, we'd come to church. Me and my children, we'd come to church. And what did you do after church on Sunday? What we did in my house was go home to the Sunday roast. Anybody else do that? We go to a coffee shop now, don't we, Margaret? You know? You know? But they were the things you did. As I said, they were the innocent years. And I remember on... You know, on Sunday afternoon, we would do a little bit of work around the garden. And then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, does anybody know what we used to watch? Countdown? Countdown. Countdown. That's right. That's right. All right, come on, anybody? Remember Disneyland, 6 o'clock? Maria Milano, yeah. No, it was 6 o'clock on Sunday night, Margaret, was it? We would all sit down with the kids on the floor and we would watch Disneyland. Remember those days? Anybody got any other memories of those early days? Give me some. What's that?
We go back to church again
in the end. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did too. I remember I used to take two services, one in the morning, one at night time here. Yeah. What about the milk? The milky would come on the horse. Remember those days? Hot bread being delivered to you, Tony. What do you got?
I was a milky.
You were the milky. Do you have a horse?
I did. Horse and
cart. Yeah. Did a horse know the rounds?
Horse
are unpredictable. Yeah. I read a story in the Reader's Digest once about the milkman who was blind. But the horse knew the round. He knew where to stop. And the blind milkman would get off and how he did that and place the bottles. But yeah, not that funny. No, not the horse. How did you know about that? The horse used to stop. All right. Any other memories of those days? Let me give you one. My dad would take the five kids, me and my brothers and sisters, down to the milk bar to get an icy pole. My dad would leave the five kids in the car running, and going to the shop and get the icy poles and come back, and guess what? The car and the kids were still there. Try that today. That's right. I kind of thought about that. What was my dad trying to do? Get rid of us. You know, back in those days, life was uncomplicated. You know, we were not as accessible as we are today. You know, we weren't as contactable as we are today. Now you can be literally anywhere in the world and be in contact with somebody. I spoke to a guy in Japan 2 weeks ago, and when I was speaking to him, he was on the bullet train going at 320 kilometres an hour. And I was having a conversation. He said, John, I'm on the bullet train. One of my girls at work rang me the other day. She's on holiday in Bali. She rang me, she was sitting beside the pool, had me on Facebook, and she was reminding me of some of the payments I had to make this week. I said, you didn't have to remind me of those things. What's that? Yeah. You know, the wonder of technology, we see everywhere people on mobile phones. You know, I don't know about you, but I did see one just recently where a young lady was on a mobile phone at the art centre, and she kept walking. No, she was texting, that's right. And she kept walking and went straight into the moat. That'll teach her. That'll teach her. You know, technology. And, you know, some people never, ever answer their phones. I'm not going to point them out to you in this room, but there's a couple here that I can tell you don't ever answer their phones. And I tell people, don't text me. Ring me. If you ring me, I will answer straight away. I was talking to a fella on the phone the other day. We're having a conversation. He said, oh, well, text me the number. And I said, you got a pen? Write it down. You know, I don't need to go through all that, you know. Just write it down. What happened to the pens? So much has changed. The world's value system has changed. You know, things that used to horrify us years ago are now just a news item. You know, children are being exposed to stuff far, far too early. How does that song go? Times are a-changing. Is that how it goes? There's a song out there. We live in this fast-paced world. There's a movie or a movie title, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. You ever feel like that? Let me off. Let me get out of here. Time is passing us by. You know, here we are, the third month of the year. Now, does anybody think it's speeding along?
Yeah.
Put your hand up if you do. Yeah, well, some of you, yes, absolutely. You know, time is speeding along. And our time is short in comparison with eternity. You know, we take time for granted. But here we are, Sunday gone by, and before you know it, we'll be back here again. And we take time for granted. You know, time is short to do things that we really wanted to. And we put these things off. Time is short about telling that person that you love them. Time is short about going to the doctor. Time is short for not asking for prayer. You know, I believe in prayer implicitly. You know, I believe that God hears our prayer. But I also believe in being sensible and practical. You know, if you're not well, you go to the doctor. Yes, you seek prayer. That's the first thing we'll do. But at the same time, be sensible and use common sense. You know, God gifted doctors and nurses to look after our health. You know, I remember when my father was dying. He was in the Royal Melbourne Hospital. I go visit him every night. And, you know, the care that he got. And I do a bit of aged care on the weekends. And to see these people looking after these folks who are unwell. And I said at this funeral, these nurses are angels of mercy. Amen? They are. Jesus said, we know not the hour nor the day. And I'll tell you this story. I was debating. But I got a call one Saturday morning about 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was a beautiful morning. The sun was shining, the cool breeze. And it was a call to come to the emergency ward at the Royal Children's Hospital. And so when I got there, I knew the news was not going to be good. It was on the faces of the parents. It was on the face of the grandparent. And what had happened, this eight-week-old baby had passed away. And so what do you say to parents that have just lost an eight-week-old? And the truth is, what do you say? You know, even when you talk to a grieving person, they can't hear you because they're overcome with grief. But just being there is enough. Just being present. Just being there. Maybe that arm upon the shoulder or something like that. You know, I remember the story of Job. And you remember that story? Job lost all his possessions. And then to top it off, his children were at a party. And a building collapsed on top of them. And all 12 of his children were killed. And so what did Job do? He went and sat in the dirt in sackcloth and he threw dust over himself. And for 7 nights and 7 days, he sat there in silence. But from a distance, friends of his heard about what had happened to Job. And they could see from a distance, and the closer they got, they became incredibly upset. There was a man with sores and boils all over him. The stench from the boils was enough. And they saw him and they were upset. And they too sat on the ground and sat there for 7 days and 7 nights and said, not a word, not one word. It's the thing about being there. Just being there. What did Jesus say? I know not the hour nor the day. Only my Father in heaven knows. And that applies to us in our lives. And there are many of us in this chapel, I can tell by the colour of our hair, that we are closer to the finishing line than the beginning. You know, one of my people at my office one day got out a tape, measuring tape. I was going to bring it in one day and show you. But he brought out this measuring tape and he said, John, this is my life so far. And he said, this is what statistically what I've got left. And when you see it like that, you think, So we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning, from the beginning. What did Jesus say? I know not the hour nor the day, only my Father in heaven. But we are a people of hope, and we are a people of hope to the world out there. Jesus said, I know not the day nor the hour, only my Father is in heaven. Final question. The question never is, when will Jesus come? The question is, when Jesus comes, are you ready?